Whenever we change our mind about something, it has far-reaching impact. It'll impact the way we look at ourselves, the way we look at God. It'll impact the way we consider a lot of different things. And our lesson this morning has that potential. I say that because it did for me, and I hope that it does for you as well. We're going to be going in a moment to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and that's where we will spend our time. But we're going to be looking at some verses prior to that and afterwards as well. And the first passage I'd like for you to look at is these two that say this about Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. In connection with that idea and the thought that is expressed there to us, also in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 15, this statement. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Do you believe that verse? We know it's in the Bible. We know it's stated by God. And it would be one that we would readily say, yes, I believe that verse, but on second thought, do we really? Is there a difference when you were tempted by sin and when Jesus was tempted by sin? Is there a difference in the way you would deal with sin and the way Jesus did? Was he, in fact, tempted in all points like me? Or is there a difference? There's a difference between Jesus and me. But is there a difference in the way that he was tempted and the way that I'm tempted? Let's take a look. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4 and let's start. Let's look verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, into the desert, into an isolated place. A lot of times when I have looked at the temptations of Jesus before, I would consider some of those temptations to be a temptation to demonstrate himself before others. But there's no mention of others. There's no mention that this temptation took place in the sight of anyone. We kind of consider that when he's taken to the temple and told to throw himself down. But again, even in that temptation, there is no mention of anyone else being there, of anyone else watching. And as these temptations start and as they end, he is isolated. He is by himself. Just him and the devil. And he has been brought here by God. He has been brought here by the Spirit of God. And now he is here facing Satan. We could also say facing himself. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, I've always considered that a face-to-face conversation. A face-to-face conversation between two physical beings. But that's not the way the devil comes to me. Not always. Sometimes the devil comes to me through a thought. Through something being driven by a desire that I have. And a thought is there. Could it be that way here? He was hungry. Could this be a thought that the devil has placed in his mind, that the tempter has put there? But the key thing that I want you to notice starts in the next line in verse 3. The tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. If you are. There are three temptations, and this phrase begins the first two. It is not in the third. And we'll take a look at the third when we get there. But it begins with the idea of, if you are the Son of God, then do what's mentioned in verse 3, and then do what's mentioned in verse 6. We've always taken that to mean it is said by the devil in order to cast doubt upon Jesus' identity, to cast doubt upon who he is. And in essence, what we are saying that the devil is asking him to do is to give proof, to demonstrate to the devil or to himself that he is in fact the Son of God. But this particular phrase can be translated another way. And in fact, in that International English Bible that many of you are reading from, it is translated a different way. And when you look up the phrase in the original language and you look up the phrase in the commentaries, most of them give the idea that the other way of translating it is probably the preferable one in this particular verse. And not only in this verse, but in other verses that are similar to it that are given to us in the New Testament. And then it would be translated this way, since you are. Not a question about his identity, because the devil knows full well who he is. And it has just happened that God has spoken from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Knowing full well his identity, the devil will then come to him and say, since you are the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into bread and eat? Because you are hungry. And what the devil is implying here is that Jesus has options. Jesus recognizes that he has options. He will even talk about those options later on as we approach his crucifixion. Because he will tell Peter, do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father? And he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels. Jesus had options. And he had options here. And he had options when he came to the cross. So the question and the temptation that the devil is using is this. Use your divine power. Go through this life and face the things you're going to face using your divine power. Don't just use your humanity. Use the options that are available to you. And use your divine power. Well, suppose he did. Suppose he did use his divine power, then he would not be facing temptation like you and I face. He would not be confronted with temptation in the same way that you and I are. And isn't that the way we look at it? Don't we completely ignore that passage in Hebrews chapter 4? Even though we say we believe it, isn't it the case with us that we really don't? That Jesus was divine, the Son of God, and he could not sin. And we look at him and his facing of temptations different from us. And we look at ourselves different from him. And what the devil in essence is doing is saying to him, use your divine power. But he doesn't do it. He doesn't do it here to avoid temptation. nor does he do it later to avoid crucifixion. He is emptying himself and causing himself to be tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Now, once I get my head around that idea, it changes the way I look at myself. It changes the way I look at my temptation and my sin. And it changes the way I look at my Savior. And it changes the way I look at God and the grace that he has given to me. And so what the devil in essence is doing is trying to get Jesus not to be tempted like us, but to use his divine power. But the Bible says he was tempted in all points like us. He did not use his divine power. Do I believe that? Do I understand that? Do I see that? One of the things we most often say about ourselves when we do something wrong is, oh well, I am only human. Was Jesus something more? When he faced temptation, would it be untrue for Jesus to say, I am only human? Is there something untrue about us in our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with temptation? For us to dismiss our giving into it as simply nothing more than I am only human, are we then saying he was not? He was not human like us. And therefore he was not and could not have been tempted in all points like us. You see how wrong that thinking is? And how contradictory it is to the Word of God and to what God says. Before we look at some things, let's go through the temptation. Let's take a look and let's come to verse 3. He answered and said, the tempter came and said to him, if you are, or since you are the Son of God, there's no reason for you to be hungry. Command that these stones become bread. But Jesus will not go contrary to what God wants. And he will subject himself to the situations in which God has placed him. He will not do as the children of Israel did and complain about God and complain about God allowing them to suffer in the way that they did without the manna and without the foods that they craved. And so Jesus answers in verse 4. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Did you catch what he just did? Do you understand what just happened? Let's add a little more. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him to stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of Man, or since you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hand they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. In the first temptation, Jesus had the ability to provide food for himself, and he refused. Here he has the ability to do something, knowing that he would not be hurt, knowing that no harm would come to him. With us, in our mind, in our temptation, the idea is if you have the ability to do something, then do it. And we're getting into more and more trouble in our day and time with regard to that, because if we have the ability to do something, we see no reason not to do it. And so we never give consideration to, should we do it? Ought we to do it? Is it what God would have us to do? And we never give consideration to that in the world in which we live today. Because if we have the ability to do it, we see no reason not to do it. And here Jesus is confronted with something that he had the ability to do. Just to show who he was. To himself. To the devil. To others if they are there. But Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is true that verse is there. But it does not mean what you're saying it means. And it does not have the meaning that you're twisting it to apply to me. On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. We will do things his way. We will be in submission to him. We will not do things from our own thinking just to say, are you really there or not? Which is what the children of Israel did. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Look at that. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Not just those in a certain locality. But all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. You don't have to become a king like God says. You don't have to go through the cross. You don't have to go through all the suffering and being despised by all humanity. You don't have to do it that way. All you have to do is decide for yourself to do it the way I'm suggesting, which is a far easier way, a way that avoids the cross, a way that avoids all the difficulty and the suffering and all that you will have to go through. There is another way to meet your ends. And all you have to do is think of yourself and do what you really want to do. This one almost seems as if it has no temptation at all. Jesus said to him, go your way, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Do you realize that in this temptation, the devil offered Jesus everything that he had? Everything he had to offer, he was offering to Jesus. But we see through this when it comes to Jesus. Because we see and we understand that everything Satan has to offer is earthly bound, materialistic, physical, and temporary. And it will only last a little while. And Jesus knows that and sees that just as we do. And he refuses to accept the temporary and the physical in place of the eternal. But how often do we go for the temporary and ignore the eternal? And so the devil tempted him again, and again he overcame. How? By his humanity. In the same way you and I are to overcome him. And what Jesus does is nothing different than what you and I can do and are to do. And what Jesus does to overcome every temptation is not to use his divine power, but to use what God has given to every single one of us as human beings. And this is what he does. He overcomes sin and temptation by Scripture. All three times. It is written. All three times. It uses something that mankind has known and has been reading for thousands of years. All three times, he uses what's still in the book that we read today. He uses Scripture. He does not overcome temptation by his divine power, but by what's available to him as a human being. And he uses Scripture, which is exactly what the Bible tells us. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Again, he overcomes temptation by being focused on the things that are above. Not by being focused on the temporary and the physical and the earthly. But he overcomes temptation by remaining focused on the things that are above. And focused on the will of God. Same thing we're told. Colossians 3, 1 through 2. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are on the earth. That's the way humans overcome temptation. It's the way Jesus overcame temptation. And Jesus is not the first to do it. If you read in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, 8 through 10, talks about Abraham. If he had wanted to, he could have gone back to the land that he came from, but he looked for another land. His focus was on the eternal and the heavenly, not on the earthly. And then Moses, in the latter verses of Hebrews chapter 11, who decided not to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It's always earthbound and temporary. But instead, he focused on heaven and the reward that was to come after. And this was Moses. And Jesus is doing the same thing. He overcame sin by walking in the Spirit. Walking in the will of God. Walking as God has directed. Walking and pleasing God. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Jesus condemned sin in the flesh as a human. Because he didn't walk according to his own personal desires. He walked according to the will of God. And in the same way that he did, we can. We can walk away from sin. Doing the things that God would have us to do. Simply by walking according to the will of God. But I say walk by the Spirit, by the will of God. And you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. That's to us as humans. That's to us who dismiss our wrongdoing as simply nothing more than, well, I'm only human. But as a human who walks by the will of God, I will not carry out the desires of the flesh. And Jesus shows it. And he overcame temptation and sin as a human. He really was tempted in all points like we are. Yet without sin. So look at this. First of all, the bad news from the standpoint of me. That means every time I sinned, I chose to. Every sin I have ever committed in my life, and there have been a bunch of them, have all been by my choice. And I didn't have to do it. I could have chosen
to do differently. That means that I really am guilty for every sin that I have ever committed. Because it's something I chose to do. And I stand guilty before God. I don't stand before God as someone who couldn't help it. I don't stand before God as someone who can legitimately say, I'm just human. I don't stand before God as someone who had no alternative. I stand before God with every sin I've ever committed, guilty. Because it's what I chose to do, and I didn't have to. It's what I chose to do, and I could have chosen otherwise. But I did not. But then on the other hand, look at the grace of God. Who knows that about me? Who knows that I am truly responsible? Who knows that every punishment I might receive for my sins is justified? Because I did not have to do it. And yet he still forgives me. And he allowed his son to pay the price for all of the sins I have committed. Not just out of my weakness and couldn't help it, but out of his love for me, he gives me a gift. The gift of his son to pay for all the things I have done wrong. It changes the way I look at myself. It changes the way I look at his grace. I look at his mercy and I look at his gift. And when it changes the way I look at his gift, it makes me understand all the more how precious it is and how devoted to it I need to become. Jesus, he was tempted at all points just like I am. Yet he did it without sin. Because he faced every temptation Scripture, choosing heaven, focusing on heaven, and determined to do the will of God. And he teaches me how to face temptation. And he teaches me how to live in this life in order to walk the way God would have me to walk. Are you in Christ? If you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, do you need to come home to Christ?